where they could have most anything they want, any time of day. Satisfied with all these things, give us more wine to drink. In the morning, we'll get up and go to church for the Babylonians. Are deaf, dumb, and blind like wooden Indians. Wired for sound like street barbarians.
Time has come when we must be on the run, my love and I. We will travel far from here. And now the days that we sat beneath the rolling tree, my love and I. We will never be here again. Wherever we go, my love, forever you'll know.
It's always been a crofter's life for me.
I'll always be my father's son.
Yet in a faraway land we will be
a Highland name on the run.
So let us leave before the soldiers come around and break the dawn. Let us all be
far away.
And we will become pilgrims where our children will help create a new
nation again. Wherever we go, my love, forever you'll know.
Son, you can be proud to become
a Highland name.
Wherever
we go, my love, forever you'll know.
With the cowboy I love by my side. Odeo-lay-o, odeo-lay-o, a-lay-o, a-lay-o, a-lay-o. Odeo-lay-o, odeo-lay-o, a-lay-o, 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 a-lay-dee.
My dad was working early in the mist and morning chill, over by the tractor, loading seed into the drill. He said, son, there's just one thing in life you gotta know. Always do the best you can. You reap what you sow. Across the open fields we saw the sunshine falling. The crops survived and grew up strong to carry ears of grain. The fields of green moved gently as the wind began to blow. Golden waves reminded you reap what you sow. Reap what you sow, yes, you reap what you sow. Treat your seeds well, plant in a row. A seed gives its life for a new plant to grow.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 11th day of September, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is 9/11 and more. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumayn, welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Cumriambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, just plain old pastordan.net. And we draw your attention to the Daily Mail page there, where we put current events information up, whether it's dealing with health, geopolitical issues, prepper issues, survivalist issues, or biblical resources. The other page you might be interested in is the home page, where you'll find information where you can help us out financially if you feel so led. The other page you might be interested in is Contact Us, and that's a way to reach me if you do not have my personal contact information. Remember, the will of Yahweh God will never take you where the grace of Yahweh God will not protect you. Hallelujah. Especially in this day and age. We have a lot to cover today. We're going to start here with a short one in Psalms 121 verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from Yahweh who made heaven and earth. Now the heavens here, of course, is referring to the firmament above us, because what's on the other side of that dome, we don't know yet. It's probably going to look familiar when we get there, but here we've been erased. That memory has been erased from us, and so we need to keep that in mind. A second reading will be over in Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 14. Yahweh God said to the serpent, now this serpent is the Hebrew Nakash, which is a man. It is not a creature on the ground. It's basically a descriptive term for a deceiving, conniving, evil man walking on two legs, okay? Again, the English word serpent doesn't carry that context very well, but when you look up in the lexicon for Nakash, you'll see that that's indeed what it's talking about, and it's very similar to where if I said my neighbor Dave down the street is a snake, or a serpent, snake, same word. I'm basically saying he's an evil guy. You can't trust him, deceiver. And it's the same context here and syntax in the ancient Hebrew. So Yahweh God said to this Nakash, serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all, quote, livestock. Not exactly the correct translation. It's creatures made by Yahweh God, and above every animal of the field. Again, talking about Yahweh's creation. So he's saying you're cursed above the others like you and all creation. You shall go on your belly, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Again, this is a analogy of his curse. It's not describing him as a snake on the ground, meaning he's going to crawl around and you took somebody and made him into this snake. He's just, it's a figure of speech. I will put hostility between you, and again he's talking to this Nakash here, between you, the Nakash, and the woman, and between your seed or offspring and her seed or offspring. We're living it, folks. The enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, who is Jacob Israel. He will bruise your head, meaning our people will bruise the head of this wicked group of people. And you, the wicked Nakash, will bruise his heel. So we walk on our feet, don't we? So if somebody bruises your heel, it makes traveling difficult. So traveling through this sick world that we live in is difficult. These creatures, just like ankle-biting dogs, are nipping at our heels constantly, causing all kinds of mischief in this world. But at the same time, we have the power within us to bruise his head. And what is the head? The head is the center of everything. Eyes, ears, so the sense of smell, the sense of voice and breathing, the ears, the vision, the brain that that controls everything, where all images are processed, etc. So the head is critical. The head guides the activities of all of the rest of their body. And so we were given the power to bruise the head of this snake. And so why has this creature, these creatures, these Zionist pigs that walk amongst us, and their lapdogs, why is it they constantly want to bruise our heel, that they constantly want to be a thorn in our sides? Because we have the power to bruise them. We have the power to expose them. Why do you think they hated Messiah so much? They condemned him. They had nothing good to say. The Jews of the day had nothing good to say about Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach. Nothing at all, ever. And likewise, Messiah had nothing good to say about them. Enmity between the two of us. And by the way, if you go to the New Thayer's Greek English Lexicon, like I have here on my shelf, and you look up the word Eudaios, which is translated as Jews, you will find that in the writings of the Apostle John, he considered them completely antithetical to us and the Messiah. Antithetical, complete opposites. And it was as if they sprang from an alien race. Now that's right there in this lexicon, or Greek dictionary is another way of saying it, that the people that put this dictionary together, who are Greek scholars, said the writings in the Greek originals, the Apostle John was trying to tell us that these people sprang from an alien race. And they are aliens. Now, along that line, we have the demise of the lizard queen over in the United Kingdom and replaced by her lizard son. So we have the passing of one lizard and another lizard or serpent coming in to take its place. Nothing will change or possibly get worse, but it certainly will not get better. Because the righteous people, the Adamic people, the people spoken of here in Genesis chapter 3, are not in charge. We've acquiesced and allowed these monsters to take over. And look at the state of the world we're in. There's only one army on this earth that will rise up and destroy this wicked regime, and that's the righteous army of Yahweh. No other force, no other political force, no other man-made institutions will get that job done. You have to understand that. So if you think there's a man-made savior out there, whether it's Trump or any other piece of dog meat that steps up and says it's going to save the world, I got news for you. Unless he's led of our Father Yahweh, that ain't going to happen. And Father Yahweh does not lead people to deceive people into taking poisons and putting them in their body, or deceive them about these wicked monsters in shoe leather, or allow these wicked monsters to become part of their family, or these wicked monsters to put electronic shekels in their pocket to buy them off. And this so-called Donald Savior has all of that. In fact, every person in the political realm is one of these creatures with these electronic shekels falling out of their pockets. A righteous army does not operate on shekels. A righteous army is motivated by righteousness. And they care not what the political position of another person is, how much money they've got, how much power they've got. They don't care. Verse 17, and to Adam, he said, oh, wait a minute. I missed the verse. I'm going to go back up here to 16. And to Eve the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. So obviously she could have children before this. Okay? Children were being born. Again, Adam and Eve is an analogy or a colloquialism to teach a story here. My personal feeling is Adam and Eve represents a colony that was put here. And what this colony, the sin of this colony was. So pain in childbirth is a penalty for disobeying our Father. You will bear children in pain. Your desire, in most translations, should have had that, most translations should have had your, instead of desire, your obedience will be to your husband. And he will rule or be in authority over you. Now, a lot of women libbers and women's lib people, they don't like this, okay? And women have been at odds with this hierarchy from time immemorial. But you look down through history, the successful empires of the white race followed this rule. We men are to be the tip of the spear. We men are to be the warriors. We are the commanders of our military. We are the leaders of industry. We are the village leaders. We are the judges that sit at the city gates and adjudicate any problems amongst our people, any issues, any arguments, any disputes. That's our job. No, ladies, it's not your job. Sorry. If somebody's been telling you that, they're a liar. When you give up this desire to lord over us men, you will find liberty in the truth of our Father's word and in the truth of life on this earth. Because in this earth, these are the rules. Now, on the other side of the dome, who knows what it is? I have no idea. And I don't believe anybody down here has an idea, because that's been erased. And it'll take care of itself when we get over there. What we need to know here and now is that you're on this side of the partition. And the rules of this world we live in are such that we, the Adamic man, are to be in charge. And it's up to we, the Adamic men, to be part of his righteous army that will subdue the wicked, as Obadiah tells us, and put them to the sword and bring this poor, pitiful, downtrodden earth back into alignment with our Father's will. That's the only way it's going to happen. I'm sorry if you think otherwise. If you think these Jews are going to solve a problem, you're just dumber than a box of rocks. If you think the whites that suck up to and acquiesce to the Jews is going to fix your problems, again, you are dumber than a box of rocks. Sorry. Now to Adam, he said, because you have listened to your wife's voice. Okay, if Adam listened to his wife's voice, whose voice did he ignore? Yeah, Father Yahweh. And you have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. The ground is cursed for your sake. Okay, so up to that point, the ground was not cursed. Good organic heirloom fruits and vegetables were abounding. The herbs necessary for perfect health were abounding. And it's quite possible that even up to this point, there was no need for the slaughtering of innocent animals. It is quite possible. We got every element we needed from our herbs and our trees and our fruits. That is very possible. Being a holistic practitioner myself and lately getting into deep dives into the planting of trees and herbs and the benefits of all of these things, from their leaves to their seeds to the bark to the pulp to the root, it is an absolute astounding miracle. So it is quite possible, up until this point in history, the killing and slaughtering of animals was not necessary. We literally could eat from the vegetation and have perfect health. So now the ground is cursed, though. You will eat from it with much labor all the days of your life, and you will eat the herb of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your face until you return to the ground, for you were taken out of it, for you are dust, and you shall return to dust. Okay? So right here in Genesis, where everything seems to start, this all makes perfect sense. Now, we do know that many of the scriptures and the interpretations of the scriptures have been adulterated. We know that. We know that. And we need to keep that in mind. As we walk through this earth, if you're relying on 100% accurate scriptures to guide your life, you better go back to your prayer closet and reconsider. Now, for you heretics out there that stand around going, King James Version is the Word of God, it's infallible, I got news for you. No, it's not. In fact, there isn't a English translation in existence that's infallible, because they're all based on the texts that are under the control of this cabal. Do you think for 1 minute people who want to dominate and enslave all of mankind are going to let you have easy access to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Do you honestly believe that? You better be in your prayer closets. You better make sure that pineal gland called the third eye is pure and healthy, because that's your antenna to our Heavenly Father, whether you know it or not. Your feelings, your emotions from your heart, that's the way we express it, they are channeled up through the brain to the frontal lobe where the pineal gland sits between your eyes. It's called the third eye because the pineal gland is made up of the same elements as your eyeball, rods and cones. Your eyeball, the rods and cones take the light rays, the spectrum of electromagnetic waves that we call light, they are tuned to those frequencies and turn those various frequencies into colors and images. And you perceive it as vision. Excuse me. Okay? So the third eye is exactly the same way. The third eye is made up of rods and cones, but they are tuned to a different frequency. It's like a channel, the tuner on your television. Of course, they're all digital now, so most people don't know it. But when I was a boy, you had to go up to your TV set and turn the knob, which would pick which channel you were going to listen to. And back then, there were only three or four channels, period. So you'd spin the dial, and you could hear the little detent inside clicking as you went between the channels. And when you were tuned in to the local TV station frequency, all of a sudden an image would pop up on the screen. That's the way it works. A tuner tunes to the frequency, because in the air around you are thousands upon thousands of electromagnetic frequencies. Okay? So if you did not have selective tuning, you would be picking up all those signals all at once. It would drive you crazy trying to process all that stuff. We're not capable of that, not in these bodies anyway. So in the world of electronics, television, radio, etc., and even radar, you have to have a bandpass filter to pick the frequency you're interested in and shield out all the other frequencies, so only that one gets through. Your pineal gland does the exact same thing. When it is healthy, when it is being used by a person of strong faith in our Father, your pineal gland becomes a ultra-sensitive antenna to pick up the spiritual communication between the Almighty and us. Why do you think Messiah said, and so did the prophets of old, that in your prayer time with the Father, which is just talking, communication, go find a quiet place away from other distractions. because you and I are not capable of handling all this stuff going on all around us constantly. So in the noise and the muck of the common day that we have today, he wants you to set aside some time to go into a quiet place, whether it's a bedroom, a little office, your basement, the garage, or a walk out in the woods, wherever it is quiet, and you will not be disturbed. Because our Heavenly Father is not going to compete with the noise of this jungle that we live in. He wants your attention. He speaks to you in a quiet, still voice. And if you're of the right mindset and the right attitude, He will communicate His wishes to you. And I'm going to tell you something. We are in a turning period. This world is at a position, at the precipice of a turning. Now, this turning was told to us by our prophets many years ago. But this turning is going to be that period of time when many blessings will be poured out on the overcomers, the righteous of this world. But at the same time, fiery judgment will be poured out upon the weak and those without faith who cannot overcome the temptations of Babylon. You see that every single day. I've got friends, family, ex-co-workers, etc., who are now suffering tremendously, and some of them are dead because of their lack of information, their lack of faith, and their lack of intestinal fortitude to stand up against liars and deceivers. And in some cases, a lack of faith due to economic pressure. The threat of being fired, the threat of losing promotions, the threat of being kicked out of the store, the threat of not going to the ballpark, the threat of not being able to go to the concert. That's all it took. Nobody put a gun to anybody's head that I'm aware of. Everybody used to talk about this period of time and said they would drag you out of your home and in the middle of the street, and they would hold you down and plunge the syringe in your arm. While there may be some staged events for your consumption showing that going on, but to my knowledge, especially in white Western European nations, I haven't seen that happen. I have not been reported to, and I have contacts all over this earth. Nobody has seen this happen in their vision and in their area. But the enemy wants you to think that that's what's going to happen. But the truth of the matter is, it didn't even take that. All they had to do was make it inconvenient for you, and you plunged that syringe in your arm. You got down on your knees and worshiped the beast and all of their edicts, even though they went against common sense. They went against science. They went against your heart. They went against logic. And they went against all the empirical evidence that we do have. And yet you still did it. I'm not a perfect man, and I'm not trying to be judgmental. But I'm going to tell you something. From the very first day I looked at the mug of Anthony Fauci coming across my brother's television screen, I knew him to be an evil man. I knew it. The very first time I saw the image of Barack Obama, I knew he was evil. William Jefferson Clinton, evil. Hillary Clinton, evil. Nancy Pelosi, evil. Chuck E. Schumer, evil. And the list goes on and on and on. It didn't matter what those moving lips were saying. The body language, facial expressions, and eyes told me these people are not sincere. They're evil. Why would I believe anything coming out of the mouth of a serpent? Or a lizard, as some people refer to them today. These are lizard people. These are people who are aliens to everything of this world. They are alien to all of mankind. First and foremost to Adamic man, because the Adamic man is the only one who can stand against them. But they are also against all the other races of mankind, because they want to dominate this world. They will not accept any resistance to their takeover. But they have to get us out of the way first. So you other races, they will use you, just like they're using the blacks particularly right now, as a weapon against the white race. Because the Jews don't want to get their hands dirty, and they know they don't have the power. They do not have the authority to subjugate and or destroy us. Yahweh did not give them that right, but he did give them the right to be deceivers. He did give them the right to deceive other races to hate the white race with the hopes that we will greatly destroy each other, making their job of taking over the world so much easier. And you know, for the folks out there that think that I'm not correct in this assessment, take a look at the world around you and tell me it's not true. Okay? Really? I mean, seriously. Tell me it's not true. Believe me, I wish it were not true. I wish I was dead wrong about everything I'm talking about. Unfortunately, I'm not. Unfortunately, I am not. We've got a few other things here to discuss. Again, I want to give you my favorite quotes here, because there is much wisdom in these quotes, and there is also a key to Jacob Israel and all of mankind, really, but Jacob Israel as the leaders against this worldwide demonic system. How we can fight this system. Richard Buckminster Fuller said, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." That's why he says in the book of Revelation, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of this world system. They were not given authority over you. It is a mental mind game that you think that they will come and destroy you. They will do this, they will do that. Well, make them then. Show some faith. Show some courage. And for you men, show some balls, for crying out loud. Why not take a chance? They're slowly killing you now anyway. They're taking away your land, your property, your businesses. They're taking away your pay structure. They're giving it to aliens. So you're being destroyed, only slower. So what are you afraid of? That it might come quicker? So you would prefer a death of 1,000 cuts rather than one single blow and be done with it? Is that it? You're gonna be the little soy boys and girls and hide in your homes and afraid that the Antichrist is gonna be angry at you because you didn't behave, you bad little boys and girls. You didn't do what I said. So you're afraid that he's going to cut you down with one single blow, but it's okay if they cut you to death by 1,000 cuts? What kind of logic is that? That's why I like that old adage that says, a coward die, or excuse me, the brave die but once, a coward dies 1,000 deaths. Because a coward has to live the rest of their life knowing that they're a coward, that they didn't take a stand against this wicked regime. General Stonewall Jackson of the Army of the South, during our so-called Civil War, which was actually a war of northern aggression, he had a statement that duty is ours and the consequences belong to God. Duty is ours. Ralph Waldo Emerson, if a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors. Though he builds his house in the woods, meaning way out of town, the world will make a beaten path to his door. So again, even if it's inconvenient, they'll seek you out. Even if it's a little distance away, they'll seek you out. That's part of what I wanted to talk to you about today. Okay? We as his righteous ambassadors upon this earth, we are to be a beacon to first our people and to the rest of mankind. Be a beacon by being strong. Stand your ground. Do not back up. Do not acquiesce. Draw a line in the sand, so to speak, and say, no more. I'm not coming after you. I'm not aggressive. I'm not a violent man. But if you cross that line on my turf, I will be the worst enemy you can imagine. Because in the name of Yahweh, I will fight you with whatever tools I have, with whatever weapons I have, and I won't stop fighting until you are dead, whether figuratively or literally, because you have transgressed and trespassed on my land, which is sacred, by the way, and it doesn't matter what man's law says. Man's law is based on Satan, the enemy of Yahweh and his people. What do we care about what their law says? It's our Father's law that matters. Your land, your home is sacred. I remember years ago reading a book about Old England and the threshold of the door and its purpose in our buildings and little homes that we built back in the days when they had thatch roofs and things like that. But that was, the threshold was to keep the water and critters and stuff on the outside of the home. And this story was talking about the fact that the threshold of your home was considered a drawbridge or the bridge over a moat in an old castle. So if you can picture the movies about the old castles and when an enemy came to lay siege on the castle, they would raise the drawbridge. So the bridge that would have welcomed them in now becomes a force or a obstacle to be reckoned with because it was made of very heavy timbers and very difficult to destroy or to burn down. So the threshold is analogous to that drawbridge. And in Old England, even the poorest peasant was safe within his home. The local marshal or even the King of England himself did not have the authority to trespass beyond the threshold of their home. It's a sacred principle. Your home is sacred. When they violate it, they are committing sacrilege. Your land is sacred. When they attempt to tax it or remove you from it, that is a sacrilege in the eyes of our Father. You know what would be a good practice for all of our people is to sit down someday, turn off the noise and get away from all of the distractions and think of what this world would be like if we operated under God's law instead of man's law. We've done shows in the past back when Jay was my guest and James Lancia, who wrote Downtown White Police. And we used to talk on those shows about what would it be like if we lived under God's law today instead of this satanic, communist, Jewish bullshit system that we have around us today. Would you like to live in a system where your home is considered sacred ground and nobody has a right to take it or to enter it? Or your land is sacred and cannot be taxed or taken from you ever? So that when you build a home and plant a garden and dig a well, it's for you and your family forever? Would you like to be in front of a righteous jury to present your evidence without a lawyer there and without one of these Jew judges in black robes or one of their sycophants sitting on the bench? Instead, 12 men of upstanding character and Christian value sitting there, and you and your accuser get to present your evidence before them, and they make an adjudication based on biblical law? Rather than this totally dystopic legal system that we have today that's designed to do nothing but frustrate justice and allow criminals to get away literally with pedophilia and murder. I think I would choose Yahweh's way. Or if our military was actually led by the righteous and we only fought when it was absolutely necessary, which is very much like the ancient Spartans, you know, the Hollywood lying thieving bastards that they are. They want you to think Sparta was warlike and just wanted to go out and conquer because they were a warlike society. When the truth of the matter is, the Spartans were very difficult to go to war. The other Greek city-states would often want to go to war, and Sparta said no. We're not going to send our sons to die on a battlefield over that issue, whatever it might be. No, we're going to stay here and remain safe and sound on our piece of ground. Now, if you come down and cross our borders, now the Spartan army will be raised and you will wish you had not done it, because the Spartans were the special forces of the day. So their training of the Spartan boys to be great warriors was mostly about self-defense, which is exactly the way we Israelites are to look at military topics. We train, much like the samurai of old Japan and the knights of the Middle Ages in England, we train to be better at violence, not to conquer, but to protect the weak and the innocent. That's the job of a righteous warrior. I've trained to be a warrior all my life, but I have no desire to harm a soul on this earth. I have no desire for that. I would rather use my weapons for peaceful purposes. I'd rather just do it for fun, for practice, like target practice, or go out and use the bow and arrow for the fun of it, just to see what kind of skill you have. That's much more fun than aiming these devices at another person. But I'm going to tell you something else. That when I see injustices, when I see monsters in shoe leather who have raped, murdered, assassinated, pedophiled, organ harvested other innocent human beings for their financial gain and pleasure, oh, I have no problem turning those weapons against those people. When the righteous army of Yahweh rises up and decides, we've had enough, come knock on my door and I will be a part of your army. And I will do whatever the commanders of that army want me to do. If they want me to scrub toilets, I'll scrub toilets. If they want me to drive a truck, I'll drive a truck. Or like my uncle in the National Guard, I'll drive a tank. If they want, I'll field a rifle and use that. But men, do something to stop this tide of evil, wicked, satanic takeover that's happening on this world. Because you are it. The righteous armies of Yahweh are the only solution to what we see going on. There is no other. If somebody purports to tell you that there's another way to solve these problems, they are liars and deceivers. And shame on you for believing them. If you look at what's going on in this world, folks, we are it. And no, we're not perfect. In no way, shape, or form are we perfect people, me included. However, we are the righteous remnant of the Father upon this earth. You should be aware of that by now. Take a look at what walks around on the streets and in your neighborhoods and all. Do you see better than you? Do you see any groups or individuals better than we are? And when I say better, I'm talking about righteous. Righteous. People that wish to be righteous and to be believers in and followers of the way. Do you see them out there? I don't. I wish there were. I kind of don't like the idea that I'm part of that crowd that should solve this problem, because I don't believe I'm worthy of it. But then again, I look around and who's more worthy? I'm sure Moses had the same kind of thoughts. King David, Solomon, Joshua, Phineas, Gideon, I'm sure they all felt that exact same way. I'm not worthy, and yet they did great deeds by faith in themselves, in their brothers at arms, and in our Creator Father. That if we'll stand in righteousness against the evil, it's the evil that will be subdued. And at this point in world history, they won't be able to get away with just running away. As the scripture says, when the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. They will flee. And part of the problem that we have in this world is that the righteous in the old days let them get away instead of pursuing them and annihilating them. That was the sin of our ancestors. The scriptures and common sense says that a day coming, the sons of Joseph and Jacob will become a flame and a fire, and they will annihilate. And if you don't know what that word means, you need to look it up. But they will annihilate the wicked, not the innocent. As Romans 13 says, we are the sword of the Almighty, not this man-made institution out here that's corrupt top to bottom. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, that wield the sword in righteousness, because we can't be bought off. We can't be intimidated. We can't be bribed or coerced by these enemies, these satanic Zionist communist pigs. And they know that, and that's what they fear. They know the weak of our races are easy to manipulate, but it's that righteous remnant that scares them to no end. Revelation 18:4 makes it very, very clear that we are to come out of her, that we do not partake in her sins and her punishments. They're about to take place, ladies and gentlemen. Make your mind up. I know there's some weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth over what we've seen so far, but there's more coming. Upon the heads of the wicked, those who do not love the Father and His law, there's more coming. More coming. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we've talked about the formula for our survival and success. If my people on whom my name is named, meaning basically those of us who use the name of our Father, and they make themselves low or humble, and come to me in prayer, searching for me, or searching for my face is a biblical way of saying that, and turning from their evil or wicked ways. So right here we have a whole list of conditions. And when you meet all of these conditions, not just one of them, not just somebody that prays like these churchgoers, but somebody who actually calls upon his name, humbles themselves. I'm going to tell you, our people are not humble. the vast majority are not even close to being humble. And seek His wisdom, His face, and then turn from their wicked ways, like gluttony, greed, materialism, seeking the approval of the wicked, when you shouldn't even care what they think. Then, after these conditions are met, then I will give ear from above or heaven, overlooking their transgressions or sins, and will give life again to their land, or as some translations say, heal our land. And by the healing of our land, we also heal ourselves. It's a shame to see all the torment and the physical ailments that our people suffer with today, when there's so many easy solutions. For instance, recently I found out about the plant called comfrey, C-O-M-F-R-E-Y, comfrey. It is a miracle plant, especially with anybody with any kind of bone or ligament injuries. It is a miracle plant. It can also help to heal a scar, remove a scar from you. And in some cases, even if it's a neuropathy problem, it can help. The same thing goes with a common herb that's in many dishes like salsa, cilantro. Cilantro. For you ladies out there dealing with menopause, you need to be eating cilantro every single day. What does cilantro do? It helps to smooth hormonal imbalances. And I've always thought that for years, when I heard women complain about going through menopause or having hysterectomies and what it did to them, it wrecked their hormones, the balance of their hormones, and turned them into people that they were not before. And I always thought there has to be something in the holistic world that could do that. Why would Father have our ladies go through some kind of a change or a process and not give them the remedy? And the answer, of course, is the remedy. The first remedy, of course, is not going to a medical doctor and having them convince you into going under the knife. Not without a consultation with a holistic practitioner. And I mean a good one, not just some quack. I have vowed not to go under the knife as long as I walk this earth. I will not let them touch me. That's my own personal conviction. I'm not going to go under the knife because I don't trust them, for one thing. And number two, when you open up the body, you're opening up the internals of your body to all kind of bacteria and elements that it was not made to handle in large quantities. That's why your skin is the largest organ on your body, and your skin is the first line of defense against elements that would poison or distress your internal organisms. And again, I'm just giving you my opinions based on my convictions. What you do with the information is completely up to you. Now, the medical profession likes to think that they are gods. And I have relatives that are nurses and doctors, so I know the attitude. Plus, I've been there to assist my son and other members of my family. I've been into the hospitals when they were dying or they were in serious trouble. I know what the attitudes are, particularly of the doctors. The nurses, I'd say it's about 50-50, maybe 60-40, that they are empathetic to what's going on, at least in the old days. The modern day ladies that are in nursing, I think the figure would flop around. Maybe 40% of them or 30% of them, the rest of them are going along with the program. So they're almost as bad as the doctors, who are white-robed demigods in their own eyes. And I've had plenty of arguments with them in the hospitals, and I told them in many cases that they would not do what they were said they would do to my son or to any other person in my family. No, you will not do that. Well, we have to do that, or you're going to go against medical advice. I said, well, I'll go against medical advice then. I don't care. In fact, if you persist in this nonsense, I'm going to take my family out of this hospital and go to another hospital that will listen. I'm going to tell you something. When you take that approach, you'll get results. I couldn't believe how fast that there was a person from the administration of the hospital calling a meeting and all of the doctors and the interns and nurses associated with my relative's ailment called them in for a meeting, all of us in the room at the same time. That was almost unheard of. And what drove them to do that? I told them I was taking my relative out of the hospital because of their lack of care, their lack of professionalism, and not listening to the wishes of the family. When the righteous stand firm, the wicked back down. But you have to have intestinal fortitude, and you have to have confidence in your own ability, your own rights. You have to be armed with some knowledge about what's going on, or you will fall victim to their lies and deceptions. When I spoke to the administrator or to the doctors and nurses, I spoke with authority because I study. I spent 30 days straight in that hospital every single day, and I slept there as well with my son when he was ill. I did that to protect him because I did not trust the hospital. And thank God I did. They almost killed him one night when his liquefied protein on the machine had run out because the nurse put the wrong value in on the rate that the liquid protein was to be fed in. So the bag ran out and my son was going into diabetic shock. And it was the middle of the night, so thank God I was there. And so I kept him calm because he was beginning to panic. He's kind of a hypochondriac, at least back then he was. And so as soon as he realized that the machine had run out and he could feel his body going into that diabetic shock, he was starting to exacerbate the problem by going into his hypochondria. It took everything I could do to constantly talk to him and massage his head and rub his shoulders and let him know that Yahweh has a purpose for him in this world and he's not going to let him go away. And finally, nurses finally showed up and finally got a new bag of the protein, got him hooked up to it, and his blood sugar came back to where it was supposed to be. But these are the kind of things that you have to look out for. Okay, did they do it intentionally? No, I don't believe it was done intentionally. However, my son still would have died. Whether it's intentional or not, people make mistakes. I've spoken to many of the Cuban families down here, and it's their intention that when a person of the family goes into the hospital, a member of the family is with them 24 hours a day. No matter what they say at the hospital, the Cubans will not abandon a family member and leave them under the observance of somebody outside of the family. They will not put their family at risk but with people who have no allegiance to their family. It's common sense. Common sense. But again, common sense is not common anymore, is it? Got a few other things. At the beginning of the show, if you missed it, you can go to the archive, and you'll hear a song called Insane Babylonians that was written and sung by probably one of my best friends, Jonathan David Brown, who is no longer with us. But Jonathan David Brown was a singer-songwriter and a production engineer for gospel music. And he was Identity. So all of his songs have great messages, but Insane Babylonians, you'll like hearing that. Now, we said 9/11 and more because today is the 21st anniversary of the terrorist attack by elements of our government and the Israelis against the American people, because that was the start of the end of the America that we know. Everybody says that COVID was, but COVID was only a stage. The announcement and the beginnings of the dismantling of the Christian Constitutional Republic known as the United Sovereign States of America, the end of that empire started 21 years ago today. 3 times 7. 3 cycles of 7 later, we see the demise. It was the start with the Patriot Act and the treason in the Bush administration. Now, the treason in Washington has been going on for a very long time, but the epitome of it was on 9/11. And that marked the takedown, the start of the takedown of this republic. So 9/11 was a staged event, 100% staged event. And it was used as the justification to implement the beginnings of martial law in America. The Patriot Act, of course, being the first, but there's been many since that. And how did they do it? Because we've read the quote of Henry Kissinger, the demonic, sadistic piece of shit Jew that he is. His quote from 1991 in Environs, France, where he said that they would use terror to get the Americans and then the rest of the world to not only allow it, but to beg for world government. They would use terror. Up until 1991, I think you folks that are my age and thereabouts, you remember that you never heard of the word terror and terrorism used in the newspapers, on news broadcasts, almost never. But after 1991, yeah, we did, because in 1992, the very following year, was the martial law attack on Randy Weaver's family up in Ruby Ridge, Idaho, on their little shack of a cabin, where Sammy Weaver was murdered by the marshals in cold blood and left to lay in the mud, and then they murdered his dog. And they took a Jeep and they ran over the dog over 20 times to show their contempt for the Weaver family. And Randy Weaver, the father, had to go out and dig his son up out of the mud and take it into the shed near the cabin and cleanse the body as Yahweh commands for the deceased, his own son. In fact, his only son, laying on a bench and being cleansed of dirt and mud and blood, shot dead by these sons of bitches in uniforms with no markings on them, by the way. Camouflage uniforms with no markings whatsoever. Kevin Harris, a friend of the family, was with him, and he had a hunting rifle because they thought the dogs were barking because there were deer in the area. So they went out looking for deer with their hunting rifles. Now, the Jewish-controlled media says that these were white supremacists, and they were armed because they just don't like everybody, and they came out there to make war against these brave marshals with automatic weapons, hiding in the woods with uniforms with no markings on them. Yeah, that's brave guys, all right. And then when Randy or Kevin fired a shot, it was in retaliation to them shooting the dog and shooting Sammy. And the media told it that they attacked the marshals and therefore the family needed to be burned to the ground, because the government's purpose and intention was to burn that cabin to the ground after Kevin Harris was severely wounded and Sammy was murdered. They had already made plans to bring helicopters in with fuel oil and burn the cabin to the ground with everybody in it. You see, that's their modus operandi. Have you ever noticed? Oklahoma City, within days, it's all bulldozed to the ground to hide the evidence. The Twin Towers and building number 7 bulldozed to the ground to hide the evidence. The Pentagon, everything is boarded up and reconstructed quickly to, quote, hide the evidence. So it all started in 1992 with Randy Weaver's family way up in Idaho, Ruby Ridge, Idaho. This is the kind of people you're dealing with, folks. Again, that was 1992, 30 years ago. 3 decades it started, and we've been living through this tribulation of these monsters hiding behind staged events to allow their takeover of this world that we live in. What a sad statement that we have allowed this crap to go on for so long. We have a full moon going on right now. So with the queen is dead and this other lizard by the name of Charles will sit on the throne and do his damnedest to turn this into a dystopic world even more. But at the same time, we have the queen. We have the third 7-year cycle from the beginning of martial law on this earth called 9/11. And we have this full moon going on right now. There's some other coincidences going on. We're creating some strange feelings amongst spiritual people. It's like we can see we're coming to a great turning. And again, this great turning is not necessarily wicked or bad for righteous individuals. I know they want, the enemy wants everybody to think you're going to lose your head over all this. Well, that's a figure of speech. I don't plan on allowing an enemy to have any part of me. Not without me fighting to the death first. And I'm going to trust my Father in heaven that I am able to accomplish that. If I live to see the day they all stand before tribunals and then they are taken to the gallows and hung, that's a blessing to me that I could be part of Psalm 149, the honor to all saints to bring the judgments written against the wicked. Yes. If Yahweh God allows me to see that, hallelujah. But my first prayer is that he gives me the courage and foresight to stand my ground. And if it costs me my life, so be it. So be it. More innocent blood shed in the fight against these monsters that walk amongst us. My blood shed to protect the innocent and to make this world a better place. What better way to go? Plenty of my ancestors have sacrificed towards that end. But do I believe it's our job to be martyrs for these assholes? Absolutely not. It's my firm conviction that the best that we should be going for is have these bastards die for their beliefs. They want to worship Satan and bring a satanic world in. They should die for it. Not our people. The righteous of this world and the innocent are groaning in travail, waiting for the sons of the Most High to be manifested. Because our team hasn't got off the bench yet. We haven't entered the arena. We have not gone out onto the football field yet. The team is still sitting on the bench with their helmets sitting on the ground. They haven't even put their helmets on yet. They haven't put their faith in Yahweh to protect them, the helmet of salvation. They haven't put the helmet on yet. I played football from 7th grade to a year of college. I'm going to tell you, when you put your helmet on, that's a sign that you're ready to go on the field and do battle. And you're going to go on the field with 10 other guys that you admire and you've worked with all week long in practice. So you know what they're capable of, and you know that you're all 11 of you are working to one goal. The scripture says, when my sons come together in one accord, they are invincible. One accord means in agreement with each other. Put the egos aside. There is no room for ego on this battlefield. Yahweh will choose the leaders that he feels qualified. It's not up to you and me. And there won't be any leaders that are consumed with egotism. I'll guarantee you that much. When I see an individual that strives to be the leader, calls himself the leader, demands to be the leader, and has an inflated ego, I go the other direction. I don't want to be in the same foxhole. I don't want to even be on the same battlefield with that guy because he's a lightning rod for disaster. The ancient Israelites were led by righteous individuals, whether it be King David type individuals or his subordinate commanders, but they were righteous. If they were not righteous, they got rid of them. The men would not follow an unrighteous leader, and they shouldn't. So I would recommend that everybody be prepared for almost anything from this point on. I saw a meme that I sent out earlier today showing a picture from a modern church with its universalism and absolute 100% perversion. I'm going to say it again. If you're going to a mainstream church, that whitewashed tomb full of dead men's bone today, shame on you. The same as I would say to parents, if you have children in the public school system, shame on you. I have no empathy for you and your family and what you're going to go through. I don't. At this point, if you don't have what it takes to get them out of that and to homeschool them or put them in a private Christian type environment school, I have no empathy anymore. I don't even want a phone call about what turmoil and tribulation you're going to go through when your children turn out to be zombies or communists or gay or trannies or all the other crap that is pushed in these satanic schools. They call them schools, but they're indoctrination centers. I have no empathy for people that will do that. If you go to a doctor's office and you allow them to put a syringe into your arm and put a poison in there so you can go to a ball game or go on a cruise or fly to go visit somebody, I got no empathy for you. I'm sorry, it's gone. It's gone. For those that are resisting, I got a phone call last night. Our dear brother down in Texas, Patrick, referred a gentleman, a fellow veteran, and he's been diagnosed with a terrible disease, and he wanted some information from me, but he is steadfast in his refusal to do the PCR test or any other test or to put a poison in his body or to go through any kind of drastic procedure similar to chemotherapy and radiation, any of those kind of disastrous programs. He refuses. Bless his heart. Now, I know there's some folks that have and they've survived, and that, and Yahweh, praise Yahweh that it turned out well. But many of us have had our relatives go through it, and it killed them. It killed them. That's why it has to be a personal choice. It's a personal choice. Anytime risk is involved, it is a personal choice. And the individual has the right to get as much information as they need and to go to Yahweh in prayer. And if they feel that that is the right choice, then that is the right choice. But it is a personal choice. It cannot be demanded by anybody. My only thing I've ever told family is go into that situation armed with as much truth and knowledge as you can get before you make that critical decision. I've told the story how my poor nephew, 28-year-old nephew, went through hell for a year because it was his choice to follow his doctor's advice. And the whole family, the day after they buried him in the ground, the whole family's comment was, it would have been better if we did nothing at all. At least his last year on this earth, he could have walked, He could have had dinners with us and go to lunch or go to the swimming pool. He could have lived a decent, normal life. And possibly even produced a heir, a son or a daughter. All of that was stripped away from him under medical advice. Am I bitter? Yeah, I'll admit it. I'm bitter. I'm bitter to all of the medical procedures that have ever been done under deception and fraud, whether to me or to the people I care about. Yeah, I'm bitter. I'm bitter that there's knowledge of alternative ways of doing things, but they don't make money with that because the medical mafia only cares about making money. Because these creatures that we've been talking about that worship Satan have total control of the medical mafia, as well as many other institutions, such as the pharmacies, the entertainment, the media, and government. That's why you live in a satanic, dystopic world. I saw a little clip that was sent to me that is a Jewish doctor by the name of Carol Baker, and this is going back to, I think, 2009, when she was appointed the chair of the CDC Advisory Committee. She is quoted as saying that we will deal with the anti-vaxxers, okay, we're anti-vaxxers, by getting rid of the white people. Isn't that interesting? 2009, this Jewish piece of shit makes a public statement that we'll take care of the hesitant or anti-vaxxers by getting rid of the white people because that's where most of the informed resistance is coming from. Interesting that this Carol Baker later on is presented with a high prestigious award a few years ago. Of course, the award is named after a fellow Jew that helped fake everybody out by the name of Sabin. Salk and Sabin, both Jews, are the two leading culprits into the whole idea of the vaccination system by claiming that they developed vaccines for things like polio. When all of that, and we don't have time to go into it today, is 100% lie. But again, if you had real preachers, if you had real watchmen on the wall, they'd be telling you that these monsters in shoe leather that look human but they are aliens are lying to you. Lying. They've been lying to you our entire lives. Wake the hell up. What we should be all about today is education and health, leading towards the building of our ARC communities. I'm beginning to think that the time of waking up the sheep is over. If people have not awoken from this absolute insanity, I doubt that they're going to wake up. I believe the focus of our energy and efforts now should be switched over to education, health, and building our family farms, which we call ARC, as in the Ark of the Covenant, the ark that Noah and his family resided in. ARC communities, which are basically a community of family farmers and live from this point on like the Amish. I may be in this world, but I am not of this world. And to live according to our faith, as our ancestors on occasion did and should have done all along. But like so many times, when the enemy figures out that our people are weak and they pander us with vice and easy credit, electronic shekels, that they can pretty much get us to do whatever they want. time to build a better model. When the righteous stand their ground, it exposes the liars who are the bad fruit and bad trees. Our mission going forward should be a beacon of light in this world of darkness, and to never lose the attribute of caring. I remember a supervisor I had at a power plant many years ago. I was all pissed off about something, and they were doing something really totally stupid. And I was ranting and raving about it, and this supervisor was younger than I was, but he said, "Dan," he goes, "I know you're right." He goes, "But you know they're not going to change their mind. They're going to continue to do the stupid-ass stuff." So he said, I'd appreciate it if you'd just calm down. You're getting all worked up. But I do have a favor to ask. And I said, "Okay, what's that?" He said, "Please don't ever stop caring. You're one of the few people I've met in this industry that truly cares." Most people just go along with the flow. Don't make any noise. Don't make any waves. He said, "But you care." He goes, "It's unfortunate that your caring is not going to change the way things are done, but it's nice to see. So in spite of what I just told you, please don't stop caring." Some synonyms of the word care would be to aid, have concern, attention, manage, provide maintenance, and to give guardianship. Just care, people. I've often said, I'm not so sure I like the word love anymore because it's overused and many of the people that use it are not sincere. It sounds good to them, so they overuse it. I said it would be much better for me to hear that you care, especially if it's a close relative or a neighbor or a friend. Just tell me you care. So many people don't have the ability to care about anything. They don't even care about themselves, let alone you or anybody else. They don't even care about their own health or their own well-being or their own legacy for their life upon this earth. When they stand in front of the Father and they have to give an accounting for this gift that we call life, what will they tell the Father? When he looks down from his white throne with those piercing eyes, bright blue, staring right through you, what have you done with this gift of life that I have given you? And you have to stand there and try to explain why you did nothing with your time upon this world. You didn't use it for anything. Do you want to be in that position? As imperfect as we are, we can all do something. And have that image in your mind of that great white throne with this perfect, omniscient, and omnipotent figure before you, the creator of this world and of you, standing before him, all alone, with nobody else to blame, nobody else to push off the responsibility, because it's you and you alone that he's addressing. What did you do, son or daughter, with this beautiful life I have given you? Yes, it's a hell out here, but it's a man-made hell. I didn't make it. You allowed it to grow up around you because people like you didn't do a damn thing to stop it. You didn't do a damn thing to make it better. You went along to get along. The greatest words any of us could ever hear is on that day when you stand before him and you give an accounting for your existence in this world, and then he says, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant." What greater words could you hear ever? Enter in, my good and faithful servant. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this platform and opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We know these are perilous times. Many tribulations and much weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But in this storm, you allow your righteous to be within their arcs, whatever form that ark takes. We know the judgments will continue to increase until the wicked are vanquished. And in this storm, we need to make preparations just as you would on a ship when you see the dark clouds on the horizon. Help us to be vigilant and to have good discernment. Help us to be steadfast in the preparations of our arcs. We know that you walk with us and guide us. We also ask that you forgive us our shortcomings and our sins. Be with us in all that we say and do, to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always we ask for protection from those who would do us harm without a cause. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
But that's not how it used to be.
Appointed sons of former ones, the allocated kith, receive their tempered teachings in the furnace of the smith. The lessons on conformity, enormity and loss, on hardness and fragility, and both becoming dross, or battered into usefulness, or molded in the warm of molten most persuasiveness and hammerings conform. The melted miscellaneous, the dearth and dust and score, eventually forgotten there upon the blackened floor. Unfolding in the scolding, reshaping in the shame, a measuring of metal in understanding flame. Where centuries of sameness and blemishings reprise are altogether altered in spark and cinder skies, and fitted into finer frame, a name above reproach, that ever after might attain where death cannot approach, created through adversity, attending in the fire, remending in the mercy to better built attire, until the final measure, a treasure to complete, upon the maker's pleasure the method will repeat, reforging and refining, reforming and review, a product of designing, the miracle of you.
I was born on the wings of an eagle, in this one-time wonderful land of free people. I was planted right straight down on a piece of sanctified ground that was written about in my holy Bible. I was raised in the backwoods of Virginia. I took my first two steps and discovered Carolina. I was a natural freeborn child, growing up green and wild. I was one of the original sons of liberty, y'all. Now I'm a free man, nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, 'cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history.
I won't compromise with tyranny. I won't tolerate attacks upon my cup of tea, cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. I said nobody better tread on me. I learned to fight in the War of Independence, where I defended the rights of all of my descendants. I finally earned my wings to fly on that famous 4th of July, when I proved to the world that I could make a difference. Was temporarily defeated in the Southland when them federal boys invaded God's grace land. And since the war between the states, they tried to keep us all federal slaves. But you know me and the Lord in the South, we're gonna rise again, friend. Cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I won't compromise with tyranny. I won't tolerate no statutory slavery, cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better tread on me. It's time we see that the enemy's within us. And even right today, they're trying to Washington deceive us. They thought they had us all surrounded up in that there Montana township. But all they did was create a couple more million of us. Yes, I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man. And I'm here to make some history. I ain't liable for, no subject to, no regulated by internal revenue. Cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Because the Lord, you see, he set me free. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. To be a free man. Nobody better tread on me. I said nobody better tread on me.
Opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order where brutality will go unrewarded.
Just in case you don't remember, let me jog your memory. In a church they called the Waco Compound, back in April 93, 17 little children, all so helpless and so small, died a senseless death of gas and flames. How many names can you recall? 17 little children. Don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children. How could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? How did you sleep last night, Bill Clinton? Tell me, did you feel their pain? The 17 little children cried out and perished in the flames. Attorney General Janet Reno I accept your offer to resign. How can you stand for law and order now when you won't answer to your crimes? 17 little children, all so helpless and so small. 17 little children, how many names can you recall? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your heard it said the Branch Davidians only got what they deserved, yet no one seems to know what laws were broken, what was in the warrant they never served. Yesterday I sold my TV set, stop my subscription to the Times. To me it's plain to see the media was an accomplice to these crimes. 17 little children, don't it make you wonder? 17 little children, how could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? Open up your
Shetland and into the west, for men. their place in the sun, their pain and their fun, second to none, the painted men. Tattooed embrace, the storybook face of the painted
When your nation is floundering in a sea of phony debt, and your cities are seething with domestic violence, and you're broke and disgusted with your worthless government, will you need the peacekeeping forces today? As the United Nations sends our soldiers overseas for the purpose of propping up their fake democracies, don't be fooled by denial. These are gross conspiracies. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. The peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are on their way. Peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces, through force they will take your guns away. As our traitorous leaders sell this country down the drain to assist and support the international bankers' aims, don't be fooled by your TV, it's just there to fan the flames of another United Nations charade. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces, those ungodly troops are here today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces, they're unloading shipments every day. Watch the mother of global martial law attempt to make things right. Wrong. Now that your mind has been salvaged and you still have truth in sight, and you have not been duped by all their propaganda hype, will you fight for this country when you know the time is right? Will you fight the